Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Diabetes, Mental Health, and Faith podcast. Today, this is episode 5. Today, I'm here with a special guest, Aiden Schmitz. He's a basketball player here at Loras and a fellow type 1 diabetic. I wanted to get him on here to talk about, you know, his story with diabetes and, you know, let our listeners know that, especially those ones who are diabetic as well, let them know they're not alone and their fight with the disease we have. And I just wanted to get him on here to tell his story a little bit and let people know they're not alone. And we all have similar stories when it comes to diabetes. So, I call him Schmitty. A lot of people call him Schmitty, so I'll probably call him Schmitty a lot in this. Schmitty, just introduce yourself and tell us about yourself just a little bit.
I'm from Bloomington, Indiana, and I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was in eighth grade. Some people would say I'm a pretty funny guy. I would agree to that.
For sure.
Yeah. That's really about it, I guess, for my introduction right there.
Okay. One thing I wanted to ask you, that I asked Pat too last time, how has, you were diagnosed in eighth grade, so that was a little bit, later than I was, but, how did that impact sports, especially with basketball and then coming here to play college basketball at such a high level.
Yeah, I'll get into that. In seventh grade, I played football and basketball. And then in that summer before, eighth grade, I kind of wanted to play football again. But I was, just losing, so much weight. I was, 100 and, something pounds. I was, a twig. I was probably, 130-something in, seventh grade. And I just lost so much weight. So I just didn't play football because I thought I was going to get hurt, and basketball was more my sport. So I was just we're just going to stay focused on that. And then right before, the season started, my grandma's a type 2 diabetic and my, aunt's a nurse. And so it was kind of just let's just see, check my blood sugar. It was 500 something. And they're we're going to probably have to take you to hospital tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was all right. So then we went and got breakfast, and my parents were making fun of me. This is probably the last breakfast you're ever going to have without giving yourself insulin. I was all right. And I'm as a kid, I didn't like shots. I mean, no one really likes shots or anything, but I was scared to death. I was please tell them they're not going to give me a shot. They're not going to give me a shot. And I kept telling my mom, they're not going to give me a shot. They're you're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah.
So then I was at Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis for, I think it was around, 2 or 3 days and stuff. And it was kind of just, such a, surreal moment. It was just, I thought it was, I was dreaming or something. And it was during, fall break. So, I mean, we had, I had, time before I went back to school. And then, the thing – with that, I just didn't want anybody to know, which I don't know why I thought that, because who cares, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just everybody's got something, allergies or,
I think, especially when, eighth grade, that's a difficult, point in life to get that.
True.
People think of you differently just because you have some disease that, did you know about it before, a lot about it at all?
I had, a classmate and then an AAU teammate that had it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I knew about it. And like I said, I had a grandma that had type 2, but I mean, that's a little different, but still, diabetes. So, I knew, of it and kind of, what it was and stuff like that. But, again, I said, I was just, super scared. I didn't want anybody to know and stuff like that. Like, kids were coming up to me and, heard you got diabetes, you're at the hospital. And I was like, yeah. And I didn't want anybody to know, which – I don't know why I thought that, but that was just like you said, in eighth grade, it's just everybody cares about everything.
Yeah.
So it's just I just wanted to keep it so hidden. And I think I did that for a lot of my life, probably almost until probably my late junior year, senior year in high school. I finally kind of was just I don't really care if you see it. I could care less. In restaurants, I would try to hide it, just out in public with my friends. If I had to take insulin, I would go and go somewhere else and do it. And now I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's I mean, I definitely was scared, like, and nervous, because people look at you differently. Like, because you, mm-hmm. I mean, especially you, I mean, I was only six, so, like, I don't really know anything outside
of
foot.
Any different, yeah.
I, you know, but, you know, at your age, when that happened, I mean, you probably felt so normal, and then that just happened mm-hmm. so fast, and then you probably feel like people are going to look at you different or treat you differently because you got to give yourself a shot or mm-hmm. whatever it is. So, yeah, that's a... I mean, that's why I like comparing, because I was so young, and even Pat was a little bit older when he was diagnosed too. So it's kind of cool to see the mm-hmm. differences. And yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I was nervous to, like, I mean, a lot of people don't even know that I have it. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, people, like, it's very, I mean, it's still until they hear like my pump, like buzzing, or my phone yeah. like going off. They're like, what's that? I'm like, I'm diabetic. They're like, yeah. oh. And they kind of just, like, look at me with kind of, like, a blank face and, like, yeah. don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Which I guess it's, I mean, it would hard to say something. I mean.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they, I mean, a lot of people don't know what it is or don't know how to, you know, ask about it or yeah. anything yeah. like that. And, yeah, I was definitely scared to, like, show people. Like, when I got, you know, a CGM. Especially on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's warm weather, it's pretty visible.
And oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Like, I always was, like, I always tried to get longer sleeve shirts because mm-hmm. I didn't want people to see. Mm-hmm. I still, like, I don't really do that anymore, especially mm-hmm. because, I mean, I played high school basketball and I kind of just said, fuck it, and didn't yeah. want to. I didn't want, everybody yeah. saw it, so, yeah. I mean. Unfortunately got torn off a few times.
Oh yeah.
But,
that's happened a couple of times. This is bound to happen though.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, hiding it
yeah.
was definitely, I think mm-hmm. everybody goes through that, but the older you get, the more mature you realize, mm-hmm. like you get, and you realize it's really not that yeah. big of a deal.
And, kind of just like being out in public and then just like seeing other people that have it as well.
Yeah.
And kind of just being like, I mean, they don't care. So like, why should I care? Right. You know, kind of thing. So I think that kind of got. And just having, like, an AAU, like, teammate and having, like, people I knew that had it, then I just got, like, more and more used to it. Now I could care less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. And I think that's – I mean, when I came to college, I was scared shitless because, I mean, I didn't think it – I didn't know anybody else had it. Yeah. I mean, when I came on the visit here, Pat told me. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of, you know, reassuring. But
yeah, for sure.
It's still a difficult time because, like, when you get new roommates, they're probably going to think, like – why does this kid have all this stuff?
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
is
yeah.
he doing all this? Or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Luckily, my roommates understand, but
yeah.
It's nice to have, you know, you and Pat. Mm-hmm. I know, like, even if, like, you run short on supplies or anything like that, we can mm-hmm. always trade and stuff. Yeah. So that's I mean, that's really nice because mm-hmm. Having those people around. So I mean, especially because I'm 4 hours away from home.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't.
Same here. When they told me that Pat was type 1 diabetic, too, that was, like, another, like, big reasons why I would kind of, like, I was, like, facing more, like, coming here. Because, like, there was someone that, like, has it, know what it is, and, like, yeah. knows how to, like, deal with it if something would go wrong, something like that, right? So that was, like, one of my, like, reasons why I, like, came here was mm-hmm. because at least there was somebody that, like, actually knew. Like, if something would go wrong or if I needed something, like, he knew what was going up, what was up, and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Those connections are definitely a big thing that helps, you know, all of us. I mean, even if you're not diabetic, you can still be there for mm-hmm. somebody who is or, yep. you know, even the other way around. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But, yeah, I think – what did I say? Oh, yeah, sports. We kind of got off topic, but that it doesn't matter. But, like, for me, like – I don't know what you did at mm-hmm. the high school level. I obviously didn't get to play this year since I did not want to do that anymore. But,
yeah.
So, like, you know, my experience with that was, like, you know, I always had my mom was, she's a freak when it comes to that. So, she was mm-hmm. always on the sideline, mm-hmm. or, like, right next to the bench. Not all the time, but,
yeah.
And I always had my phone on the scores table so it would try and connect during
yeah,
the game.
Yeah.
Because do you wear your pump or no, like mm-hmm. during games?
More times than not, I take it off. Like, if my sugar is, like, high or going high, most of the time I keep it on.
Right.
But most of the times I will take it off. But, yeah, my mom was the same thing. Like, AU tournament, she always, like, had her phone open because you can, like, have the apps, like, connected yeah. and stuff. And she would just, like, come up and, like, She just handed me a Gatorade. I'm like, I didn't even know I was low. She's like, drink this. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So then, like, I would, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to listen to her. She knows what's going on, I guess. Because so, I wouldn't have my phone on me. My phone would be on my bag. So,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I mean, at least we have parents that are like that. Because if not, then, like, if you said you didn't even know you were low, you could go out there just fall.
Fall down. And yeah.
So,
yeah. Like, when I was, like, first, like, I could kind of, like, realize when I was, like, getting low and stuff, mm-hmm. and or, like, when I was getting high. And now it's, like, it's a lot harder to, like, know if I'm, like, low or high and stuff like that.
I
feel like as, like, you get more used to it, I guess, and your body gets, you know, used to, you know, your pancreas not working and you have just to, you know, give yourself insulin, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You really got to, like, I don't like, just, like, realize, like, what, like, you got to pay attention, like, all the time. I'm, like, I'm always, like, checking my phone like every like at least 10 to 15 minutes, like even if it's like charging or something and I'm doing like chores or laundry or just like whatever it is, I'm watching a movie or something, like I always go on my phone just to see what it is, because like your blood sugar could go up and down and like you just don't know.
I think there's some stat out there, but it's a crazy high number of like life-threatening decisions we make every day.
Oh yeah,
because
for sure.
See, I'm a little bit different. So can you, like, do you shake or, like, anything when you get low or, like, can you feel that? Like,
if I'm, like, super, super low, like, 40s, something like that, then I can, like, kind of feel it mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But when I was, like, probably, like, first couple of years to, like, eighth grade, freshman, sophomore year of high school, like, I could, like, tell when I was going low.
Right.
Like, without looking at my phone, without testing my blood sugar, without anything, I could just be, like, oh, I'm going low. I need to eat something. I need to drink something. Just, but now it's more like, that's why I always like check my phone now.
Yeah.
Cause like I was like super bad about like not like checking it and stuff. Cause I'm like, oh, I feel fine. Like it's not low or I feel fine. It's not high.
Right.
So like I wouldn't check it. And then like towards the later years, like my junior, senior year, like I would just be doing something and then like my phone would go off and it would say my blood sugar's low. I'm like, I don't even feel it anymore.
Right.
Like, so now like after that, having like some like scary experiences, you know, like waking up, my mom had like, you know, waking up like your blood sugar's low, like get up, like drink this or something like that. And now I'm like, I'm always checking it. Like I said, like every like 10 to 15 minutes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm lucky. I can still feel it no matter what.
Yeah.
Like even when I'm high or when I'm going low, like I can tell that I'm going, like, you know, when you get the double arrow down, I can tell before that.
Yeah.
That I'm dropping, which I'm lucky in that department because it's, I like to call it my own superpower. Cause, I mean, I'm lucky to have that my body still, you know, reacts that way. So yeah, because like that's the only thing I'm not good at. I can't, like when I'm sleeping, I don't.
Oh yeah.
I can't
check your phone.
I don't know what it is. I'm just glad they I'm glad there's a way to share it with the parents and everything. Because I just got on the Dexcom, the G7. And, well, I had to clear all my followers. I had, like from my G6, I had, like, the nurse from high school, my mom, my dad, my aunt, my sister, my brother. I was like, okay, not everybody needs to know what my blood sugar is. And I don't want everybody to know.
Yeah, I don't either, yeah. Because I remember, like, when I first got it, my mom would just, like, be texting me, just, like, your blood sugar is too high, your blood sugar is too low, like, and I'm, like, well, I can't, like, it's not instant, like, that's what I always used to tell her, I'm, like, okay, if I take insulin or, like, well, however many units, like, it's not that fast, it's not going to just go down to what it needs to be, like, it's going to take some time.
That's how my father is, God love him, because he just tends to, he gets worried about it, but I'll be low for, like, 3 minutes and he'll text me, you know your blood sugar is so low. I'm like, yeah, dad, I know. And I don't blame him for that. I'm glad he does that.
Yeah.
But he'll text me a lot. Not as much anymore now that I'm here. But like back home, like if I was at school, he would text me, hey, did you get something for your low? Yeah, dad. so I don't like, at least he's there. My mom and dad, they can ask me. I hate going to the doctor for this. Do you have to go every 3 months or whatever it is?
Well, now that I'm like older now, and now it's like, I think it's like every 4 or 5, I think, like okay. 6 months, something
I
like
think
that, yeah.
Technically I'm supposed to go every 3 months, but I'm tired of going. I don't know. Like one of the times I went, I had a 6.7 A1C. Mm. And I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
good. That's like really good.
Yeah.
And he's just like telling me like what I had to do. And I was like, bro,
yeah,
I'm the one living with it.
Yeah.
I got it. 6.7 is pretty good mm-hmm. for, I mean, I was 17 at the time or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
that mine's like around there. It's like drops every time that yeah. I like go now.
My last time it went up. And I think that was because I came to college and
oh, yeah.
I was just, it, yeah, that's just going to happen.
That's always like, and like exercising and like getting into sports, like I had to like change like how much like units I gave me because like I'm like working out every day. I'm doing running around, yeah. you know, doing all this stuff. So I had to change how much I would like give myself like
yeah.
per how many like carbs I would be doing. And now like off season, it's totally different and stuff yeah. like that. Like after the season was over, like my sugar would be like crashing like all the time because I was just giving myself too many, you know, like units and stuff like that because, yeah. you know, I wasn't eating as much because I wasn't burning as much calories. Yeah, yeah. And, like, you know, wasn't moving around and stuff like that. So then I had to like call like the doctor and be like, can I like change this? Cause I'm like dropping like every night. I'm dropping like 2 or 3 times a day. I'm like, yeah. I feel like shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to feel like this. Yeah. I'm just gonna change it, whether yeah. you say I can or can't.
Yeah.
So, but now like I'm getting a lot more used to it and stuff like that. I've only had yeah. the pump for a couple, almost a year now. So I mean, I haven't had it a very long time, but it's like the best thing ever. I wish I got on it like so much sooner. I feel like so much better.
Yeah.
I don't know why I waited so long.
Yeah. And you're on the T-Slim, right?
Huh?
You're on the T-Slim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that. That's I don't remember what I had before the T-Slim, honestly. It was so long ago that I don't remember. Because I was only on shots. I probably went to a pump when I was, like, 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. I think it was, yeah, it was probably around 10.
Yeah.
So, that was, it was different because, you know, I didn't have nobody, I didn't have to stand in class in, like, third grade give myself a shot anymore.
Yeah.
But the T-Slim, the fact that there's, like, the activity mode and the mm-hmm. sleep, I don't know if you use those.
Yeah, exercise.
Yeah,
like
that, yeah, yeah.
Sleep and...
There's one.
I can probably look right now, dude.
There's one more, but I know like those help a lot. Like,
here we go.
I just got a new pump and I had to reset all that and I forgot to turn the sleep mode on.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is my blood sugar so bad at night?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then that's yeah, the sleep
so
mode helps
yeah,
a lot.
So there's like a exercise and sleep mode and then you can like have your like sleep schedules and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's so useful because
yeah.
like, I used to have, like a sleep like schedule, but now that I'm not in like season, I go
yeah.
to sleep like whenever. So
yeah.
I just like turn it on when I go to bed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's literally like the best thing ever. I don't know why I waited so long. I was just a stubborn kid and I should have just
enough.
Listened to the doctors and my
Fair
parents.
I mean, it's scary cause you don't know what it's gonna,
oh yeah. For, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's a different change, mm-hmm. especially when you come in, you're diagnosed, and then that's all you know for a little bit, and then they're like, well, we want to put you on this, so that's
oh, yeah.
like that's a huge
mm-hmm.
change.
Yeah.
But yeah, because like what you said about basketball, like I would like I kind of played all year round, but when you have those gaps
mm-hmm.
between like, you know, August to October when basketball starts in high school, like I wasn't like, you know, I would work out and stuff, but I wasn't playing up and down all that.
Yeah.
And I'd come back, like, the first day of practice, I'd be low. Like,
because yeah.
my body hasn't adjusted to how much running I'm doing
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'd play basketball the entire year. And then after basketball was over, it would do the same thing because I wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it kind of affects everybody, especially with mm-hmm. sports because
yeah.
your body, it doesn't realize and it changes so much. And that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I mean, the T-Slim is huge because – of all it does with the, do you use the Control IQ? No.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, now the Control IQ, I mean, it's very, I don't know. They tell you that it's, so what it does basically is like when your blood sugar goes up, the pump will do it automatically, like give you the insulin.
Yeah.
Like however many units you need for like your correction dose and everything. My issue with that is that I don't like being high.
Uh-huh.
Like at all. Nobody, no, then it, you get your mood all different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't like that. So, and it takes too, like the Control IQ will work, but it takes forever, it feels
mm-hmm.
like. And I don't want that. So I tend to like just override that. I have it on, but I don't actually use it. So it technically,
I think I do have that on.
Yeah. It's supposed to like give you the insulin that you need, or turn it, like when you're dropping it, turns it off.
Yeah. I have that on.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what it was called. It's a good thing, but at the same, I like for lows, it's good because it turns it off, turns off the insulin until I'm fine, and I don't have to manually do that. But when my blood sugar goes high, I don't like sitting it. I like when it gets, when the numbers get yellow, it's, I get angry. It's I don't
like that. Yeah.
No, it's like OCD. I don't want that to happen. I don't like the yellow numbers. Yeah. They look bad. I want it to stay in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And then they should make the high red.
Is it not for you?
No, the high is yellow and the red is low. Like,
Yeah. So it's like yellow, like white and then red.
Yeah. Yeah. I would show you, but, I'm not, I'm going to expose myself. I don't even have a CGM on at this moment because I don't have any. But luckily we have Easter break, so very soon. But, yeah, so when did you get on the G7?
I don't even – like whenever it, like, came out, I think, honestly. Because I was on the G6.
Yeah.
For probably since my, like – I'll probably say like my sophomore year, maybe junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I think they just, our insurance like covered it or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, you can have this now. And I was like, and it was smaller. And I was like, yeah, that works for me.
Yeah. And the warm up is nice. Like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's nice. I hated the 2 hours. And then, then they have the, like before you take it off, they have like, it tells you that it's expired, but you have like an extra 12-hour period.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I always use the 12 hours because I'm lazy and I don't want to put another one on.
Yeah,
so
why would I waste another one when I can just use it for another 12 hours? Yeah.
I always, like, if it's like telling me like right before I go to bed, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to change it in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to. Well, I feel like that's how they get you to buy more or whatever. I don't know. Because who knows?
Yeah.
For all the money we put into Dexcom. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess a question I have, like, obviously this talks about mental health and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much trouble you go through, but with that, like, just having the disease and, like, we talked about life-threatening decisions every day, but how does your mind, you know, think when...
When I was, I think it was my... like junior year going into my senior year, so that like summer I was just like, it's literally just having like the worst time like of my life. I don't know, like basketball, like I thought I was gonna play a lot my junior year, didn't play a lot, and then like I get told at the end of the year I should have been playing more, and then from my coach I was just like, well, it doesn't really help us now, does it? And yeah, I was just like, I was just having like the worst time like of my life, and I was just like super bad with just like everything. I'm probably gonna start crying.
That's okay.
It's fuck.
That's okay. That's what we want to hear.
It's just, I haven't really talked about this in so long.
Yeah.
It was just, it was super hard. And then, I was super bad. I was just dealing with a lot. I was just like, I was treating my mom like super bad and my sister and all my friends. I was just not doing anything. And then we were talking to somebody on the phone, and they were all like on the phone with 911. And I was like, I was freaking out. I couldn't even tell you like what it was. I was just like freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And they said I should probably go to this this hospital, not like a hospital, but kind of just like stuff like dealing with this like depression and stuff like that. Just like, so I think I was there for like 5 days or something. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have like any access to like internet and stuff. And it helped so much. It just helped me like see just kind of how like life really is, and like all this stuff about, you know, like what people say, what people think about you, like just really doesn't matter. And it was just it was just super helpful and stuff like that. I can't really get my point across because I can't keep
crying.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're
but
good.
It was, I mean, it helped my, like, my outlook on life, like, so much. And
yeah.
I felt, like, so much, like, better as a person. Like, you know, everybody, like, cries and stuff. And I don't know who's, like, said this. I forgot, like, who it was. But it's, like, it's good to cry. Like,
oh,
I know,
for sure.
Like, just, like, letting, like, stuff out, whatever you're thinking about, just, like, crying and stuff, like, isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I know I see this now. I probably haven't cried in probably, like 6 or 8 months, but
yeah.
That was probably the first time in a long time. But
maybe you needed it, because, I mean, that's what we tend to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a similar situation with, you know, my mom, my brother, my dad, and all that. And luckily, those people are there to get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad you got help,
oh, yeah.
Of course, because, see, I didn't know all that.
Mm.
And it takes a lot of courage to come on here and say all that. And I think when people talk about crying, like, it's okay. Because I think as men,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to, because people will look down upon us or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's the stupidest thing ever. Because, mm-hmm. like, there's times where you just need to let it out. But, yeah, and I mean, when you go through something like that and then you have this disease
mm.
that you have to deal with every day, it probably doesn't help. But, you know, when we have people around us that love us for who we are and not for what we've done or how we treated, you know, it doesn't matter. And I think that attitude of, like, a laid back attitude, that's really what I did too. And I think I noticed that in you a lot. 'Cause like you joke a lot, like,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like you said, people think you're a funny person. I mean, I do. I know
good.
Drew
that's
does.
Good. That's good.
But, and I think coming in like where things matter in life, but like
mm-hmm.
sometimes things aren't that deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like today I'm going to say this on that. I'm probably going to get my license revoked for 90 days
because
I have speeding tickets. And that, like,
almost happened to me, I will admit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a type 1 diabetic thing.
I don't know. I think I literally, before I got to college, I said, I've never even gotten pulled over before. And then I got pulled over twice in 2 months.
Same
and
here.
I was like, oh.
Same here. And then I had
an
online class to renew my license.
See, you're lucky. They won't, in the state of Iowa, they don't give programs or anything like that.
Yeah.
So they won't even. I went today and I was like, "Can I do anything?" They were like,
"So
no.
You got your tickets in Iowa or
yeah, both of them.
Okay.
One of them I was definitely like,
mm-hmm.
I was yeah, because like
yeah, I got my,
in Illinois it's 70,
mm-hmm.
and then
it's here let's
65,
yeah,
and it's like
mm-hmm.
I you know,
yeah.
but I yeah they got me there. But then I was going to FOG Mounds
mm.
for like a class thing, and this lady pulled me over for 40 and a 35. At least that's what she wrote on the ticket. She told me I was going 45. She's lying. I mean, whatever. You know, I admitted the guilt to it because I probably was, but.
I think the first time, I think I got pulled over in, like, Bloomington, Illinois because I was, like racing to go home.
Yeah.
And then my second time, I think it was, like, after finals, and I'm like, I just want to get home. So I was probably going, like, 90-something.
Yeah.
And I got pulled over again. And
yeah.
I called my mom. I was like, hey, got pulled over again. She's like.
Yeah.
So I was like, so, you know, I probably drove like 15 under the speed limit before I got home. So,
yeah.
And then had to renew my license. So that wasn't very fun. She did not like that at all. But,
yeah.
You know,
no,
it hasn't happened again. Knock
that's
on wood.
Good. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Knock on wood. It hasn't happened again. But,
yeah.
You never know.
That's what, like, today I was, like, I went to the courthouse and I was just freaking out. I knew they were going to tell me I can't do anything. Like, I knew.
Yeah.
Like, but that's where, like, I was like, I was so scared. I was so nervous. Like, I was like shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty, you know, chill.
Calm for
it. But I was very, like, my anxiety was really bad this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I fought through that because I know that even though I'm probably going to lose it, like,
yeah,
like, the world's going to keep spinning.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of the mentality you kind of got to have. And, but yeah, you coming on here and saying all that stuff, that means a lot to, you know, a lot of people listening, and probably means a lot to yourself.
Yeah.
to just get it out there.
I've talked about it in a very long time.
Yeah, and I think in high school it's a lot harder because it's just a high school atmosphere makes it harder because you want to be like.
I mean, my my high school. I mean, we have two high schools, and I mean, we're rival high schools and stuff. But kind of everybody kind of knows everybody kind of thing. Oh, you have pretty big schools, a couple thousand for each high school and stuff. But I grew up playing with kids that went to the other school, and vice versa. Kids at the other school grew up playing with kids at the other school, hanging out with the school, going to the same elementary school, same middle schools. Now they don't, because it's kind of just how it is and stuff like that. So I was I just feel I didn't have really anyone to talk to and stuff like that. But like my family now and stuff like that, and I have people now I can just talk to about them, about really anything.
Yeah.
And I just, that's just another thing, too. In college, my sister, told me, when I was, after, I was dealing with all my, the stuff, after I got out and all that.
Yeah.
She was, I had friends in high school, but, I found my people in college.
Right.
So then I thought of that, and I just that's why when I came on a visit here, and I was just I was on the same a recruit day as Balling, and I met Lucas Balling, and one of the most interesting people I think I've ever met, and all the other people that were there, I just they just felt good people. So I was just this is the place for me to go. And I kind of just wanted to move away. Probably not a lot of people know how far away Bloomington, Indiana is from Dubuque. It's 6-ish hours. Matters how fast you drive. But I kind of just wanted to get away from all that because probably 70, maybe more percent just want to the University of Indiana, which is in Bloomington.
Right.
And I just did not want to deal with big atmosphere. I just don't think now, honestly, I probably could do it.
Yeah.
Right. But looking before, I made my decision to come here, I don't think I would have been able. I probably would have dropped out, probably would have never went to class, probably just would have been a nuisance.
Yeah.
Not doing anything good for anybody.
Yeah.
So I think it was the best decision to come here for sure. Or at least just kind of just out of that atmosphere and stuff. I kind of just wanted to get away from all that and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out Lucas Balling.
Yeah. And then I met some more interesting people here. Well, interesting as in good, not as in bad or anything. Well, except Lucas Wiener. That guy's interesting.
Yeah. shout out Lucas Wiener. But I think that helps too. Cause
Andrew Klobe. That's one of the other interesting people on that.
I don't know about that. No, I'm playing. He wants to get on here, so hopefully he gets on here soon. But to talk about his stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that story itself is inspiring because there's people like I said, high school is hard because you go through all. You want to be so good, and you're figuring out life.
You know, more times than not, you've known these people since you were 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Like you've been growing up, you see these people change throughout your whole life.
Yeah.
And now you have something happen to you or something change, someone passing away in your family or just whatever it is and stuff like that. It's just I feel a lot of people just really don't want to know. They just want to keep it hidden and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that was that was my biggest thing. I don't really know what hit me. I think a lot of it was the pressure of playing basketball and I was worried about just what would happen next instead of just taking a day at a time. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking way too far ahead in the future. And sometimes I still do that, but I realize you can't really do anything about the future now. Obviously, there's things you can do that can change your future, but.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell myself every morning that I just have to live life to my best ability because that's the biggest thing you can do.
I forgot what the quote was, but I think it's comparison is the thief of joy or something that. Like comparing yourself to others is just it's literally just the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
It's getting in your own headspace and stuff that. like just even it could be like the most like simple stuff ever, like people just like showing you like, oh, I got like a this on a test or this on a paper or this on a presentation, and then yeah. like everybody kind of feels it, like they did bad or just worse or not as right. good. There's kind of just like
yeah, I think congrats. Social media has a,
and that's like the same thing with social media, yeah. I say as well, like likes, comments, like people like whatever they're saying on like your post and stuff, yeah. like that, like
yeah,
I think that's like another
yeah.
huge thing.
Yeah, I just come like, to realize like none of that really matters. It's cool mm-hmm. to post on social oh, media yeah, and all that, sure. and but I tend to like not scroll mm-hmm. on too much unless it's Instagram reels, but because that's just the funniest stuff ever. So yeah. that's my source of entertainment. Shout out my uncle for sending me all those reels. Can't disclose them, mm. but yeah. That lightens my mood every day. But yeah, I think social media is a mm-hmm. large part in that too, because when people post doing this stuff or doing that stuff,
yeah.
Comparison is a mm-hmm. huge thing. I mean, not only the future, but you know, the past can get you when you think about all the things you've done
mm-hmm. or should have done or you yeah, know, exactly, wanted to like do, regret. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Saw this thing the other day. I don't know if it was a quote or a, like, I think it was just a quote, a Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a Bible verse or whatever, mm-hmm. but they say the devil wants to show you your past, and that's what makes you so anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. gets you anxiety and all that. And it said, when the devil shows you your past, make sure you show him the future, because
mm-hmm.
his future doesn't exist. I don't know how, you know, spiritual you are, but
to be honest, I'm not a very like. Just like religious person, like
yeah.
I will never like bash or you
right.
know, like I'm not gonna like fight you after this is over or anything because
yeah.
what you talked about, like
yeah.
I think it's like super good for people to like have faith and stuff, but just like me personally, I just really don't,
yeah.
and I think that's, I mean, not really something I like struggle with or anything, but I kind of like wish I kind of did think that way. But
yeah.
I don't, and I don't think I'm ever gonna think that way.
Right.
Just kind of like, just with my experiences in life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the attitude you have to have, too, because, I mean, I believe in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and, but I don't, like, if you don't, like, or you do, or if you do that, like,
mm-hmm.
well, it doesn't really matter.
No.
Like I said, the
yeah.
world's gonna keep spinning.
Yeah.
But,
no.
yeah, I think, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge mindset that I've gotten, and I think just hearing you talk, it's kind of the same mindset you have, that life, like, tomorrow is going to be another day, and
yeah.
you're grateful to live another day
mm-hmm.
Here on Earth. So, because I know I wear this brand a lot. I have a hat, shirt, and it says life is good,
mm-hmm.
And that's always a reminder of my, like, to myself that, you know, life really is good.
Mm-hmm.
And just enjoy it and have fun with it while you can, because I know there's a lot of people tell you life is short, and it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a big part of it, so, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see here. I don't really have too much left for you. Any last words you want to say or anything
no.
like that?
No, not really, no.
Well, I hope people...
Yeah.
take your story
yeah.
And
it hopefully
inspires them.
It helps someone else in the like same or similar situation, just dealing
yeah.
with really anything. Doesn't really have to be diabetes or
yeah,
whatever,
for
really
sure.
just literally anything, just hopefully it helped
yeah
you know someone out there. That's I mean I'm assuming this is what this all is for, just
exactly.
to try
yep.
to help, you know, people just
yep
so yeah.
and just talking about it, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, even though you said you haven't really talked about it
mm-hmm.
much, I always feel better when I talk about it.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's
Nah,
you
I
shouldn't
feel,
be a,
I feel better
shouldn't be ashamed
talking
to
about it, yeah.
you know, the things you go through, because a lot of people go through it. You know, I like to my father is the most inspiring person to me, because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't talk about stuff like mental health or anything like that. But I think he's a huge reason for what I do today, because, you know, he went through a lot. The stories he tells me, I mean, he went through a lot. At my age, probably a lot worse than what I've gone through. And he does, he works so hard to help our family and, you know, do everything he can to provide for us. So, shout out my father. mother's cool too, whatever. But no, I'm kidding, Mom. But yeah, so yeah, I just want to thank you for joining me and telling your story to everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
So hopefully we can get Klob on here sometime. If he wants to. I don't know. I think he does, but
I'm glad to come back anytime.
Yeah, for sure. So but yeah, thank you for joining me, and yeah, that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening to Schmitty's very inspirational story. I know just sitting here, it's pretty inspiring to me to know that somebody else has gone through something similar as I have, and you know, people go through these, and you're not alone in life. So thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you guys next time.